To, da ti vladajo, pomeni,
da te nadzirajo,
opazujejo,
indoktrinirajo,
pridigajo,
ocenjujejo,
presojejo,
cenzurirajo
in ukazujejo ljudje,
ki nimajo za to ne pravice, ne znanja in ne vrline.
Da ti vladajo, pomeni, da si
registriran,
popisan,
obdavčen,
označen,
patentiran,
odpuščen,
preprečevan,
reformiran,
kaznovan.
Pomeni tudi, da si pod pretvezo javne koristi in splošnega interesa
dresiran,
ogoljufan,
izkoriščan,
monopoliziran,
izsiljevan,
izžeman,
varan,
okraden. Pri najmanjšem znaku odpora ali ugovoru
te zakrejo,
kaznujejo,
zaničujejo,
nadlegujejo,
preganjajo,
zmerjajo,
potolčejo,
razorožijo,
zadušijo,
zaprejo,
ustrelijo,
obsodijo,
preženejo,
žrtvujejo,
prodajo,
izdajo.
In da bi bila mera polna, te še smešijo, slepijo, sramotijo in onečastijo.
Črna luknja!
Zdravo, z vami je spet Črna luknja, anarhistični glas na Radiu Študent. O čem bomo danes govorili?
Prvi del bo posvečen Alexisu, ki je bil umorjen s strani policije leta 2008 v Atenah. Ne pozabimo, jutri je mednarodni dan ACAB, tako da v akcijo. Temu bo sledil update situacije v Braziliji. Peter, več o tem?
Ja, intervju s tovarišem Filipem, s katerim smo v preteklosti že delali, intervju je tudi v Črni luknji, torej aktivist, ki je bil ves čas upleten v ustaje, ki v Braziliji od junija potekajo, torej še naprej.
No, zaključevati pa bomo začeli z osvežitjo stare nove zgodbe, zgodbe boja delavcev proti izkoriščanju v Sintalu. Temu bo sledila že tradicionalna aktivna misel in pa poziv na jutrišnje proteste, ki se bodo začeli ob 17. na Kongresnem trgu. Pri pričakovane posledice stresnih testov so tu in ne obstaja noben razlog, da bi ostali mirni. Gremo naprej.
Konec koncev je konec tudi konca zgodovine. Končno.
6. decembra leta 2008 so grški policisti v atenski četrti eksarhija umorili 15-letnega Aleksandrosa Grigoropoulosa. To je bila kaplja čez rob in že nekaj ur po umoru so na ulicah grških mest zagorele barikade ogorčenja. Nočnim protestom so se zjutraj in v naslednjih dneh pridružile množice na ulicah in sprožile največje socialne nemire po padcu vojaške diktature leta 1974. Upor, na čelu katerega so bili mladi srednješolci in študenti, je pokazal pot upora tudi izven Grčije. Saj so se solidarnostne akcije v podporo grškemu ljudstvu začele nemudoma odvijati povsod po svetu. Intenzivni protesti, napadi na policijske postaje in druge institucije oblasti, zasedbe javnih prostorov, samoorganizacija in ostale ustajniške aktivnosti so trajale več kot mesec dni in zavedno spremenile grško in evropsko družbo. Policijski umor je pomenil odkrito vojno napoved države in kapitala proti ljudem. Saj se je ekonomsko, socialno in fizično nasilje v naslednjih letih samo stopnjevalo. Ekonomska kriza, brutalni varčevalni ukrepi, privatizacija in razlaščanje, demontaža socialnih institucij in ukinjanje zgodovinsko priborjenih pravic je grško družbo pripeljalo na rob propada. Ofenziva diktature kapitala pa se še kar nadaljuje. Danes, 5 let po grških barikadah, tudi ostale evropske države in z njimi Slovenija ne zaostajajo veliko. Vsi smo del istega načrta nadaljnega pustošenja družbe pod taktirko vladajoče elite. Decembrska ustaja v Grčiji leta 2008 je na drugi strani napovedala tudi obdobje nemirov, obdobje ljudskih ustaj, začetek socialne revolucije, ki je edini možen odgovor na vojno države in kapitala proti družbi. Ogenj grških barikad je takrat ponovno vzbudil upanje širom sveta in tudi v nas prebudil duha upora. Danes je sicer jasno, da sprememb ni mogoče doseči enostavno in čez noč, saj je odločnost vladajočih razredov, da uničijo naša življenja, totalna. Pa vendar nam drugega kot upor sploh ne preostane. Že danes nimamo več praktično česa izgubiti. Izolacija in cinizem nista rešitev. Še naprej se moramo organizirati in povezovati, ter na evropski ravni graditi vstajo in alternative kapitalističnemu sistemu.
Με την πρώτη σύλληψη 13 χρονών μαθητή η ένταση κορυφώθηκε. Ομάδες νεαρών εξαπολύουν φόβους μονότος και πέντες πίσω στην
ολοκλήρωση. Είμαστε εμείς που έχουμε πάρει την οργή. Είμαστε εμείς που δεν ξεκουράστηκα. Μα κι ας ήταν Κυριακή, εμείς πάντα με βιάζεις. Δεν ήσουν εκεί ούτε κι αντάμωση. Στο επόμενο πρωί ένα μαθητή εμείς. Είμαστε εμείς που κρύψαμε τον ουρανό. Κάναμε νύχτα κάθε μέρα. Τα φέρνει στον εφρούρνο μου από μέτρες βροχή. Δεν πρόκειται για προσευχή. Ο κήπο κάθε καταπιεσμένος πια δεν συγκρατεί. Είμαι στον δρόμο διαρκώς, ξέρεις τι πάει να πει. Πως προφανώς δεν έχω μόνο την οργή. Έχω το πείσμα, το θάρρος, το φόβο να νικήσω. Και ένα ολοκλήρω στρατό από γουρούνια να αντιμετωπίσω. Κι αν δεν ανατριχιάζεις τώρα όπως εγώ είναι που είμαστε φτιαγμένοι από άλλο υλικό. Εγώ τις πέτρες μου τις πέταξα όλες εκεί που πρέπει. Εσύ μια πήρες και έβαλες στο στήθος σου και φέρε. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να πενθούμε πολεμώντας δίχως τέλος ή ταχύ. Να υπάρχουμε σε πείσμα τον καιρό. Να τσιγκλάμε από μήνα για γερασμένο ζωπικό. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να σκοτώνουμε το θάνατο σε κάθε μας ζωή. Κάνουμε όνειρα με μάτια ανοιχτά. Ενσαρκώνουμε τους άλλους εφιάλτες ξανά. Κάθε ένας λοιπόν κάνει ό,τι του αναλογεί. Έτσι οι αγιάδες στο όνομα το ανάψανε κέρι κι εγώ. Με βλάβια στο μπουκάλι στερέωσα στο πλοίο. Από τα πρώτα που φύγαν κι ήταν μεγάλη. Μου κοιμίωσε για σένα από την πρώτη στιγμή. Σε βρήκα θεατή πιστό στην κατανάλωση. Εχθρό για τη ζωή. Όλο αυτό το δεσαξέσπασμα το βρήκες λογικό. Μα αγανάκτησες που κράτησε λιγά και παραπάνω. Κοιτά τα δάχτυλά μου, τα γαδιά μου σκισμένα. Μα και πάλι δεν θα νιώσεις πως περνούσε κάθε μέρα. Φωτισμένα πρόσωπα γνωστά γνωστά με τη φωτιά. Σύμμαχο αντίδω το όπλο και συντροφιά. Αφού απέφυγε στα χημικά και τούτη τη φορά. Κάτι που καίγεται κοντά μου είσαι αφημιστικά. Κι έτσι σαν να τα σε ξεκέρδισα. Σου άνοιξα τα αυτιά σε κανένα να με φοβηθείς. Κι έτσι με πήρε σοβαρά. Κι έτσι βρέθηκε σε μέρη που δεν είχες φανταστεί. Κατηλημένα δημαρχιά ξεπίδησαν εδώ και εκεί. Κατηλημένη γεσέ, κατηλημένη κάθε σχολή. Εξεγερμένες πυρουέτες στη δικιά μας λυρική. Ήσουν λοιπόν αυτές τις μέρες που καλλιτέχνες ήταν όλοι δρόμοι. Θέατρα κατά μέσα τρελάθηκε η πόλη. Σαν αυτούς που απ' ένα έγχρωμο εξώστη θα με δουν. Κι όλα τα άλλα που μου λες μπορούν να πάνε αγανιθούν. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να πενθούμε πολεμώντας δίχως τέλος ή ταχύ. Να υπάρχουμε σε πείσμα τον καιρό. Να τσιγκλάμε από μήνα διαγερασμένο σε κακό. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να σκοτώνουμε το θάνατο σε κάθε μας ζωή. Κάνουμε όνειρα με μάτια ανοιχτά. Ενσαρκώνουμε τους άλλους εφιάλτες σας ξανά. Και τώρα που φοβίσκουν καινούργιους στρατούς. Τολμάνε και εκδικούνται την εξέγερση. Μα ποιος ανακούς. Κι αν όσα έζησες τιμάς μη σταματάς. Έχουμε πόλεμα πάντα σταμάτα. Υπτονάζει τα σκαμουφλάζ. Τα θέση χώρου χάρτη προστίχης ανακοχής. Ζούμε το κυνήγι μάγισσων της νέας εποχής. Ζούμε με τους φίλους μας να είναι στη φυλακή. Άλλοι είναι επικηρυγμένοι κι άλλοι αιώνια ζωντανοί. Γιατί χτυπάνε ένα να τρομάξουν εκατό. Τώρα που έχουμε φυτώσει τον επαναστατικό χώρο με όλα τα μέσα. Χωρίς φετιχισμούς, χωρίς αποκηρύσεις μα πάνω φέτους ηρωισμούς. Χωρίς το φόβο ή την πεθυμιά μιας προσκαιρής κατάληξης. Χτυπάμε βλέμμα για την καρδιά της άνοιξης. Κάνουμε όνειρα με μάτια ανοιχτά. Εξακολουθούμε τους άλλους εφιάλτες σας ξανά. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να πενθούμε πολεμώντας δίχως τέλος ουραχή. Να υπάρχουμε σε πείσμα τον καιρό. Να τσιγκλάμε από μηνά για γερασμένο σύμπαντο. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να σκοτώνουμε το θάνατο σε κάθε μας ζωή. Κάνουμε όνειρα με μάτια ανοιχτά. Εξακολουθούμε τους άλλους εφιάλτες σας ξανά. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να πενθούμε πολεμώντας δίχως τέλος ουραχή. Να υπάρχουμε σε πείσμα τον καιρό. Να τσιγκλάμε από μηνά για γερασμένο σύμπαντο. Χρέωσε μας την επιλογή. Να σκοτώνουμε το θάνατο σε κάθε μας ζωή. Κάνουμε όνειρα με μάτια ανοιχτά. Εξακολουθούμε τους άλλους εφιάλτες σας ξανά.
Λοιπόν, για σας με λένε ακόμα πράκτορα ή παραπλανημένο. Είμαστε απλά μια όμορφη εικόνα από το μέλλον. Από εκείνους που τη βάρκιζα δεν αναγνώρισαν ποτέ. Γιατί κανένας Δεκέμβρης δεν τέλειωσε ποτέ. Τα αντίπαλα στρατόπεδα χωρίζονται ξανά. Ή με την εξέγερση ή με την κανονικότητα.
Y me tus cúcules filmo y me tus gravates. Hasta la muerte, mis amigos. Y yo habla. Era de gustar una ra.
V poznih pomladanskih dneh, ko je vstaja pri nas že resno začela izgubljati sapo in zagon, se je na drugem koncu sveta zgodil nov izbruh ogorčenja. Brazilijo je zajel val množičnih, spontanih in decentraliziranih protestov, intenziven val civilne nepokorščine in upora. Vse skupaj se je začelo v Rio de Janeiro, kjer so se ljudje uprli povišanju cen javnega prevoza. Vstaja se je hitro razširila v številna druga mesta in začela odpirati še mnoštvo drugih vprašanj. Ker smo v brazilski vstaji prepoznali mnoge podobnosti z dogajanjem pri nas v preteklem letu in z namenom, da bi se iz izkušenj drugih naučili tudi kaj sami, smo se obrnili na naše tovariše v Braziliji, ki so v dogajanje ves čas direktno vpleteni na terenu. Pogovarjamo se s Felipejem Correa Pedrom, aktivistom anarhistične organizacije libertarnega socializma OASL iz São Paula, ki je del brazilske anarhistične koordinacije CAP. Poslušajmo, kako se je začela vstaja v Braziliji.
I think it's important for us to understand that these mass protests here in Brazil occurred in the month of June of this year, 2013. It was a huge mass protest in lots of Brazilian cities, and the main issues was on transportation, on public transportation. To give you an idea, here in São Paulo, people were inspired by other mobilizations, like in Porto Alegre and other northeast cities, that has already been protesting. And then here in São Paulo, this was the beginning of everything. There is a movement here, a social movement, that is called Movimento Passe Livre. We could translate as a free fair movement. This movement started the mobilization against a rise in the price of the buses and trains. And then this transformed into really huge process and huge protests, huge mobilizations with thousands of people at the streets. So people were at the streets mainly at the first moment because of the transport issue. And then when the movement grew, a lot of other issues start to be put and everything.
Ko se je brazilska vstaja dokončno razbohotila, je odprla dotedaj neobstoječ politični prostor, v katerem so se našli številni ljudje, ki predtem niso bili politično aktivni. Heterogenost političnih praks in idej je bila sorodna tistih heterogenosti, ki smo jo videli tudi pri nas. Naš sogovornik je v gibanju na ulicah prepoznal štiri glavne skupine, družbene oziroma politične sile, ki so v protestih igrale glavno vlogo pri mobilizaciji in artikulaciji.
It's important to understand that these protests started as a left-wing typical social movement and protests, autonomous social movements, some unions, some other more bureaucratized social movements, unions, left-wing militants and everything. But when things grew, and when things really grew, we could identify a lot of people, a lot of, we could say, common sense people, and a lot of them with a kind of a right-wing position. Okay, so one of the characteristics when the protests started to grow, for you to have an idea, these mobilizations went from 5,000, 10,000 to thousands and thousands of people. So we could identify basically four forces at the streets, okay? The first one, the force that started the protests here in São Paulo, okay, that was this MPL movement, pay this transportation free fare movement, and other anarchists and other autonomous independent social movements, the more class struggle unions. Then we had another sector, another force that was composed mainly by political parties and more bureaucratized unions and social movements and a huge amount of left-wing militants. Then we have the biggest part, when the protests became really huge, we can identify this third force that arrived. For you to have an idea, 70% of the people was at the streets for the first time. Okay, so it's the kind of people that normally was not involved with politics, and their ideas mainly reflect the corporate media common sense, let's say. So this was when the protests begin to be really huge. The main force in the or the main amount of people in the protest, and then another force, really small but extreme right, kind of fascist force. Okay, in terms of quantity, we can identify that the force most important was the first one. Okay, this left wing autonomous. Where were the anarchists, the social movements, and the unions that are more class struggle and not so bureaucratized? Okay, so this was the main force in the protest.
Na začetku vstaj v Braziliji, ko so bila na ulici v glavnem že obstoječa socialna gibanja, so tamkajšnji mediji o protestih poročali precej negativno. Češ, na ulicah so nasilneži in vandali, protesti nimajo legitimnosti. Tudi naši mediji so v brazilskih ustajah poročali v znanih okvirjih. V veliki meri so nereflektirano povzemali moraliziranje o nasilju.
In fact, the media was really important during this journey. If you analyze the beginning of the protests, it was, like I told you, mainly a left-wing protest, and then the media was completely against it. The biggest part of the corporate media was saying that police had to be more, let's say, huge, or the repression should grow, or must grow. Okay, so the corporate media kind of incentivate or give an incentive to the policemen to grow the repression. But there was a special date in June when the repression was really, really, really big, completely crazy stuff. A lot of innocents were beaten. A lot of media journalists were beaten and suffered this repression without participating in the protests. So this repression, in fact, changed the position of the media, and then the population start to support the movement after this big repression. So I think these two features, media and repression, these features are really relevant to explain the mobilizations in Brazil.
Tudi v ustajah pri nas so pomembno vlogo odigrali mediji, preko katerih se je v določenem trenutku lansiralo tudi diskurs o tako imenovanih nasilnih in nenasilnih, dobrih in slabih protestnikih. Diskurs, ki je ustajništvo razdelil, postavil norme sprejemljivega protestiranja, zaprl prostor in od ustaje odtujil velik del ljudi. Tovrstni diskurs se je preko medijev vzpostavil tudi v Braziliji. Na proteste je, tako kot pri nas, vplival negativno, saj je med ljudi vnesel razdor in nekatere protestnike celo spodbudil k napadu na druge protestnike.
This discourse of violent, non-violent, good and bad protesters was really sustained by the media, but mainly to separate this new sector of new people defending like common sense issues, sometimes against any kind of violence, sometimes against any left-wing stuff. So this sector started to attack political parties, but after they started to attack unions, social movements, autonomous social movements and so on.
Anarhisti in organizirane anarhistične skupine v Braziliji že dolga leta intenzivno sodelujejo v različnih družbenih gibanjih, ki so tudi v teh vstajah igrala pomembno vlogo pri mobilizaciji, koordinaciji in artikulaciji.
In fact, I'm part of the anarchist coordination, the Brazilian anarchist coordination, and we are present in about 10 states in the country, 10 regions. So I can say you that in all of these states, in all the cities we are present, people of and our organizations participated in this huge mobilization. But depending on the city and the contests, this participation was more or less, depending on the contests, linked to the organization and to the coordination of the protests. I think in some cities or in some states, the anarchists started the fronts or the movement that were mobilizing people. Okay, I can give you the example of Porto Alegre, for example. I think, in my point of view, the organized anarchism was the main force inside the movement. Or, here in São Paulo, that we were not coordinating the process. In our organization, we have some people that participate in the MPL movement, in this free fair movement. Okay, but we decided, because we are really close to the movement, to follow and to support this movement in all of their positions. Okay, so we participate here in basically all the process, but here in São Paulo, we kind of followed the directions of this movement that it's our partner or it's our associate, let's say, in the last years. We change a lot of experiences. We have lots of comrades there. Sometimes we work with political education with them. So we are really close to this movement. So just to answer your question, I gave you two examples, but I think depending on the state, we were completely engaged in coordinating the first force of the mobilizations. And depending on the context, we were in the protests, but not as, let's say, in the main forces, but we were supporting other main forces, let's say. And we could say that our national strategy was to reinforce this left-wing sector, okay, basically with our social movements and unions and other initiatives that we built daily.
Pri nas je velik del ustajnikov hitro pograbil idejo, da je treba vzpostaviti novo, pravo levičarsko stranko, ki bo ideje ustajnikov prenesla na politični parket in državni aparat uporabila v svojo korist. V Braziliji je velik del protestov vključeval tudi kritiko vseh obstoječih političnih strank in drugih institucij države. Naš sogovornik vidi perspektivo predvsem v delovanju na nivoju avtonomnih družbenih gibanj in ne na nivoju oblasti in države.
For one side, okay, by one point of view, sure, we are anarchists, we are against political parties, and we think that politics have to be done inside the popular organizations. Okay, so we have to do politics at the streets, at the unions, at the communities, at the student movement, with the landless, with the homeless, with workers, with and so on. This is one point. Other point is that here in Brazil, the biggest part of people who were claiming or who were giving a position against political parties were right-wing people, or this huge common sense sector. We decided to stay together with the left-wing sector. At the same time, we are not with the... We do not support political parties. We think that the right-wing cannot... it's not possible right-wing people come here and start beating people and of left-wing political parties. Okay, in theory, for us, it's basically the anarchist position. That means the state has a structural capacity, okay, to transform the governors, judges, policemen, the military, and so on. So these, all this, these people for us compose the bureaucracy, and bureaucracy for us, it's a dominant class. Okay, so our position, it's clear. Those who manage the state for us are class enemies. So we do not support any kind of politics inside the state, parliament, even if it's revolutionary, like the Leninist or the Trotskyist. Okay, so our politics, like I said, it's we have to do it in the popular spaces. Okay, we think that we have to build politics by a popular institution, and these popular institutions are the social and popular movements in general.
Vendarle, kaj nam govori to splošno nezadovoljstvo ljudi s parlamentarno demokracijo in absolutno zavračanje političnih strank? Je tu potencial za spremembe?
Mainly a lot of people at the street said, oh, okay, they are tired of parliamentary politics. Okay, this is true, and I think the left wing could not understand this well. But this is not to say that people at streets have something in common with anarchism, you know. I think a lot of people were like complaining on political parties mainly because of these problems of corruption involving the workers' party and so on. Maybe they just wanted, the biggest part of people just wanted a well administrated party or something like so. It's not, you cannot transform directly this unsatisfaction with political parties, that we think we could find some potential there, but you cannot transform it into anarchism, socialism, or something close to us.
V tako intenzivnem dogajanju, ko se iz dneva v dan na ulicah in v drugih sferah družbe organizira in razvija ostaja, se gradijo pomembne izkušnje. Poslušajmo za konec našega pogovora glavne ugotovitve brazilskih ustaj do sedaj.
I think we had some lessons in this protest, in this mobilization. And the first one was interesting to see how the left wing in general are away from the people. Because when people went to the streets, what we could see was that they were politically formed by the mass media in the peripheries by the Protestant church. Okay, so the lesson, I think, is that we, as socialists, as left-wing militants, as anarchists, we have to develop a process, in our case, the anarchists, to continue developing this process to create roots in the people. Because what we saw in this journey, in this mobilization, is that people are really far away from anything that can be called left-wing socialism and so on. So this is one lesson. Second lesson, the left-wing, the biggest part of the political parties, could not read this situation and could not understand that people are tired of this old-fashioned way to do politics. So they are the unions, with the trucks, with the speeches, with the political parties, with any militant with like three or four flags just to give the political party a space there in the picture. So political parties and some part of the left could not comprehend that there is an aspiration of something different. There is an aspiration of doing politics in other way. But it's our task, we think, as anarchists, to develop a political project that can, at the same time, form people as left-wing values with a socialist project, a libertarian socialist project, and also to give these answers of a new kind of politics. So we cannot, we think, continue working with this traditional left-wing way of doing politics, because people are really tired of this old form of politics.
Vstaja v Braziliji, tako kot v drugih delih sveta, seveda še ni končana. Dokler bodo temeljna družbena protislovja nerazrešena, bo obstajala potreba po revoluciji. O tej in drugih bomo poročali tudi v prihodnje. Morda pa nam z izmenjavo izkušenj uspe zgraditi smiselni program za doseganje sprememb, ki jih globalna družba nujno potrebuje.
Napovedujemo revolucijo!
Z nami v Črni luknji je sedaj v živo preko telefonske linije sindikalist z Obale, s katerim bomo spregovorili o pritiskih, grožnjah in sodnih postopkih, ki so jih deležni samoorganizirani delavci koncerna Sintal. Se slišimo?
Halo, se čujemo, ja.
Zdravo, zdravo. Poskusiva biti kratka, namreč tukaj na radiju nas preganjajo, da moramo kar sedaj hitro zaključiti s to oddajo, tako da kratko, strnjeno. Ali lahko na kratko osvežiš zgodbo boja delavcev v Sintalu?
Ja, zdaj najprej pozdrav vsem v studiju, pozdrav poslušalcem in poslušalkam. Na kratko bom tako rekel, 19. decembra se bo na okrožnem sodišču v Kopru začel kazenski proces podjetja Sintal in njegovega lastnika Roberta Pistotnika, ki je med 10 najbogatejšimi v Sloveniji, zoper 2 bivša delavca in sindikalista zaradi žaljivih obdolžitev in kaznivih dejanj zoper čast in dobro ime na spletnem blogu Razkrinkan Sintal. Sporni so recimo izrazi, ko so izkoriščevali delovne sile, goljufivi kapitalist, delavci delajo v sužnje lastniških razmerah in tako dalje. To je neko kratek uvod.
Ok, zakaj so ti sodni postopki pomembni ne samo za tiste, ki so neposredno vpleteni, temveč tudi za vse nas?
Ja, zdaj recimo zanimivo je, da želi zagovornica Sintala odvetniška družba Nina Zidar Klemenčič, kar je iz pisanja razvidno v teh tožbah, na podlagi tega procesa graditi nek precedenčni primer borbe zoper anonimne spletne aktiviste. Torej, to je ena zelo pomembna zadeva. Potem druga pomembna zadeva je ta, da verjetno želijo tožniki prestrašiti vse neke bodoče delavske poizkuse organiziranja in borbe za njihove pravice in jim pokazati primerno lekcijo. To je recimo tudi neka pomembna zadeva. Potem ne gre pozabiti, da gre v tem primeru za enega redkih primerov v svetu, kjer se sodišče odločilo za izdajo sklepov o zasegu računalnika in obisku sodnih izvršiteljev forenzikov na domu, samo zaradi kaznivega dejanja zoper čast in dobro ime. Se pravi, ljudem so posegli ustavno pravico zasebnosti stanovanja zaradi kaznivega dejanja zoper čast in dobro ime neke osebe. Potem mogoče samo kratko še, da vedeti moramo, da to gre za proces velikega bogataša proti trem ljudem, ki so na socialnem dnu in se težko materialno branijo proti nasprotniku. In vsekakor, da gre za branjenje številnih ustavnih pravic delavcev v nasprotju s pravico posameznika do osebne časti in dostojanja.
Ok, morda še to. Verjamem, da blog Razkrinkan Sintal je porodilo pač dejansko izkoriščanje delavcev v tej družbi. Verjetno se v letih, odkar je ta blog nastal, ni nič kaj dosti spremenilo. Morda lahko daš nek update situacije v tej panogi, tudi update, ki ga verjetno želi tudi ta sodni proces ohraniti.
Ja, zdaj recimo nasplošno rečeno v vseh teh varnostnih službah delavci delajo res za minimalne plače v vseh vremenskih pogojih. Pomemben je tudi vidik, da recimo zbornica za zasebno varovanje zavlačuje z nekim začetkom pogajanj za novo kolektivno pogodbo. Najbolj vplivni ljudje v tej zbornici pa prihajajo prav iz teh največjih varnostnih služb. Tako da za konec bi mogoče sam rekel, da v veliki meri so delavci sami krivi za svoj trenutni položaj, saj prevladuje neke vrste apatija, strah in nemoč. In težko da je videti nek žarek upanja za neko močno sindikalno organiziranje na tem področju.
Ok, najlepša hvala za ta pogovor, res nas priganja čas, tako da ob drugi priložnosti nadaljujemo. Srečno in odločno v boju zoper kapitalistične šefe.
Hvala lepa in lep pozdrav iz sončnega Kopra.
Živijo svobodo. Aktivna misel, aktivno telo, aktivni človek, bodočnost naša. Politik v solzah. Koliko otrok v solzah ta trenutek. Spomnite trgovine, najboljši sosed, na tisoče kemikalij v hrani. Najboljši sosed je kapitalist. Lažna hrana ne nahrani ljudi. Kapitalist gradi stadione, ne pa zdrave vrtce in šole. Tako otrok kot piščanec trpi, pod lučkami za zidovi živi. Ob lažni hrani bolezni goji. Zato politik Božiček Miklavž, dedek Mraz, vse je laž, lažni darovi človeku. Živa sila proti diktaturi kapitala. Čuti, misli, vidi, sliši, ljubi, živi. Živa sila svobodno voljo izraža si. Človek žive sile pogumno ostaja za pravico vseh ljudi, da ne ponižni, ne sužni bi bili. Živa sila svobodno voljo živi. In nobena oblast ne more ustaviti hrepenenja po svobodi. Policiji v dober spanec. Aktiviste z dobrimi srci, ki želijo spremeniti svet na bolje, zapirate v zapore. Bankiri, gospodje lopovi, pa ostajajo na prostosti. Kako naj to bo bodočnost, medtem ko ta družba še otrok zdravo ne nahrani. Bolezni povsod. Dobro jutro v dober dan, policija. Mi ustajamo naprej, bodočnost si ustvarjamo. Dobro jutro v dober dan, za lahko noč, živa sila.
Torej, ne pozabimo izkušenj iz Brazilije in se pridružimo antikapitalističnemu bloku jutri ob 17. na Kongresnem trgu. Razlogi za protest ostajajo. Boj proti kapitalizmu, boj proti strankokraciji in proti vsem elitam za radikalne družbene spremembe. Tokrat na valovih nejevolje zaradi politike zategovanja pasov in korupcije. Povabite sosede, širite informacijo. Skupaj smo močnejši. Čisto za konec pa še hitra vstajniška vaja.
Na ruševina
kapitalizma bomo zgradili pravičen svet, drugačen svet, brez avtoritet. Ne životari, hočemo živeti. Stres je v družbi zaradi bank. Jebej sistem političnih strank. Zoki, joki, dobrinemo na kavo. Zoki, joki, pridemo 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 na kavo.
On is the gringo, on is the revolution. I'm to the revolution.
What's a revolution to you? To kill the bosses and take their money.
Jebate, kak ti možeš u jednoj demokratskoj državi dizat narodne ustanake?